Junior worship today, they can be dismissed at this time as well. The last song that we sang was a song of consecration. Chad does a good job as he puts that music together each week. Oftentimes, that all the songs are songs of worship, but that act of bringing ourselves before God, I hope you're not just singing words, but you're using that as a way to express before God, you know, my life, my lips, my heart, it's yours, God. I want to live for your glory. That's what it means to live the Christian life. And Sunday mornings are a time for us to come together as followers of Christ and to reconnect with God, to reconsecrate our lives for the days ahead. God, we are going to commit to live for you because you have purchased us through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, and we are going to live for you in all that we do. And that's what we're talking about these days in this series. If you want to get your note insert out, we'll follow along that sheet this morning. Again, we're in the middle of a series, and we're actually in the middle of a sermon that I cut short and kind of split into two that I started last week. And we're talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the reality that when Jesus died on the cross and then was raised again, he met with his followers and he said, I'm going to go away and I'm going to send you another. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to come into your life when you put your faith in me. And the Holy Spirit is going to be the power and the presence of God in your daily life. And so we are trying to learn what it means to live our lives. And last week we looked at this little phrase found in Ephesians 5, this command that God gives us to be filled with the Spirit. And we learned last week that what it means to be filled with the Spirit, every believer has the Holy Spirit in their lives. Chad read a couple passages this morning out of Ephesians reminding us that our bodies are the temple, the dwelling place of God. And every believer has the Holy Spirit in them. But the question that we are being challenged with when we are called to be filled with the Spirit is not do you have all of the Holy Spirit, but does the Holy Spirit have all of you? Are you completely giving your life over, all areas of your life, every day of your life, to the power and presence of God, the Holy Spirit, to work in your life, to make us more like the Savior? That's what this life is really all about. That's what God is up to. So we're learning about that process. And we learned last week that the call to be filled with the Spirit is the choice of giving complete control of our lives over to God. And that's what that song of consecration was about this morning. God, my life is yours. I challenged you last week with an illustration. You remember I had the two glasses. If you were here last week, I had two glasses of milk and I put some chocolate syrup in each one. That represented the Holy Spirit in the life of a person when they accept Christ. But that syrup sunk to the bottom. And I took one of the glasses of chocolate milk and I stirred the chocolate up. And when I did that, the chocolate permeated the glass, permeated the whole glass. And that is what it looks like to be filled with the Spirit. That the Spirit permeates every area of our lives. And then, to the horror of all of you, I grabbed one of the glasses, the one filled with the chocolate milk, and I drank the whole thing, killed it. And that's the most excitement I've seen in this church. And I thought afterwards, man, I hope that when they think back on that illustration, that they don't just remember me drinking a glass of milk, but they remember what the point is. And the point is that we need to drink deeply of God. We need to, this is a call to all-out commitment. This is a call to drink deeply of the life of God. Don't hesitate. Don't hold back. Don't be timid. Don't be faithless. Let's drink deeply of the life of God and of the Spirit of God. And that's what we're talking about in this series. Chuck Swindoll, one of my favorite pastors, he puts it this way. He says this, God knows what you really need in the moment, in every moment. He knows what you need. So be at peace. Find your comfort, wisdom, and confidence in Him. God is able to bring you those things through the filling of the Spirit. But listen, He is not a coercive God. He waits for you to ask Him to say, Lord, I'm yours today. Lord, I want to glorify you today. Please enable me to do that. I cannot fill myself. We talked about that last week. He says, so God, in prayer, fill me with your power, your strength, your peace, your love. God, I need you to do that in me. That's the heart that we're talking about. So the goal is to be filled with the Spirit, to be under His control. But what I want to talk about today as I kind of work through the rest of this thought process is to remind you that being filled, being completely given over to God, having God to be in complete control, working in your life in every area, here's the deal. It is not automatic, is it? You don't just kind of coast through life and God's in complete control and in every situation and every circumstance and in every relationship, you just automatically are filled with the Spirit and do the thing that God wants you to do His way. That just isn't how it works. It's not automatic. That's why to be filled with the Spirit is something that God commands Christians to do. And we have to cooperate with God as He does His work in us. That's the picture. Cooperating, aligning ourselves with God. If we fail to make this choice, and this is kind of the next point that I want to emphasize, even though being filled with the Spirit is the goal, there is a danger lurking for all of us, according to Scripture, when it comes to the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. There's a danger that I want to talk about. Let me read you a couple passages. I want to go from Ephesians 5, where we were at last week, where it tells us to be filled with the Spirit. Just go back a chapter to chapter 4. And I'm going to read a couple of verses, and then I think starting in 4:29 will be on the screen. But I want to back up a few before that and just read. So listen to these words given to the church. He says, therefore, believers, you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his hands that he may have something to share with those in need. And now verse 29 in the next paragraph, listen to this. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit the people that listen to you talking. And then here's our phrase. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Instead, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. This is very practical stuff. He's saying, believers, I know the way that you are apart from God. I know the way that you used to handle things, the way that you used to live. You used to do things like be untruthful and, you know, you told lies to one another. You used to be full of anger, and it came out in your relationships, and there was fits of rage and brawling and anger, and there were all these manifestations that were unpleasing to God in the way that you lived. And you need to know that according to this, the phrase we're looking at here, and the danger is that you would grieve the Holy Spirit. When you live that way, Christians, you do something to the Spirit of God. The word grieve simply means to make sad. You sadden the spirit. You in a sense, you break God's heart. He cares about how we relate to one another, how we treat one another in the body of Christ. And when there's fits of anger, and when there's selfishness, and when there's deceitfulness, he says you're breaking God's heart, and you're grieving the Holy Spirit. That's the danger. Do not grieve the Spirit. There's another parallel passage that I'll just refer to real quickly that gives a little bit of a different image. In 1 Thessalonians 5:19, you might just jot that down. It says, do not quench the Spirit. And the picture there is that the image is of the Holy Spirit being a flame or a fire in the life of a believer, and the Spirit wants to burn hot in your life and go from a little flame to a raging fire of power and of living for God. But when we do these sinful things, when we treat one another with selfishness and anger and with lack of love, it's like we're taking a big bucket of water and throwing it on the Holy Spirit. To quench the Spirit means to put out the flame. To limit what the Spirit wants to do in your life. And so there is a real danger that we run, that we risk when we don't live our lives fully for God. We quench His Spirit. And we don't want to do that. And we must be aware. We must be aware that the Holy Spirit of God isn't indifferent. As we go through life, as we live our lives, as we go to work, as we live in our families, as we live in our neighborhoods, as we live with one another here as a church family, God's not indifferent to how we live. God cares deeply about how we live with one another and love one another. In fact, He would say that's the most important. That's what He cares about. So I want to kind of return to this idea of being filled with the Spirit. And I want to go to one more passage that we'll kind of wind down with today and talk about the process. What does the process of being filled with the Spirit, what does it look like? And we're going to go to Galatians 5. And the process, that blank there, is to walk by the Spirit step by step. To walk by the Spirit step by step. In Galatians 5, 15 and 16, this is in the ESV version, it says this, but I say, walk by the Spirit. The NIV says, live by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. They are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. The description there is of a battle that is going on in each of our hearts. Did you know that there is a war going on there? A civil war. And the two sides here that are described in Galatians is there's this, the flesh. The flesh is simply the old nature, the sinful nature. God says that apart from Him on our own, we're not good, we're sinful. We live against God. We rebel against God. We're selfish by nature. That's that sinful nature that tempts you and causes you and empowers you to live a life separate from God. And it's full of energy in that direction. But there's another force. When you accept Christ, the Spirit comes in, and the Spirit comes into your life, and that is the opposing force. And the Spirit comes into the life of a believer and gives, the Scripture says, God gives us a new heart, a new set of desires. Now, The Christian, even though you're not always conscious of this and don't always act on this, you now have the desire to please God with your life. He's put that in you. It says there you sometimes don't do the things you want to do. God, I want to please you, but sometimes I see myself doing just the opposite. And that's the battle that he's describing. The civil war. The picture there of walking in the Spirit is just the word walk simply means live your life day by day. As you live, as you walk through life, live in the Spirit. Live in the power of the Spirit. I want you to imagine yourself as a private going out to sea on a military ship. And you're the low man on the totem pole as far as rank on that ship. And the ship leaves and goes out to sea. And you learn very quickly that the captain of the ship that you're serving on isn't a very good guy. And in fact, he is an evil man. But he's in control, isn't he? He's the captain, you're the private. And he begins to give you orders to do things that you know are not right. And he promotes on the ship, dishonesty and cheating and strife with one another. And he tells you to do things that you just absolutely know are against the way things are supposed to be done. But you have no choice because he's captain. You might even get to the point where you just go along with it. Without even having your conscience bother you at all. So you're out at sea, and somewhere along the way, the captain finally gets his number called, and he gets charged for all of his evil ways, and he gets arrested, and charges brought against him, and they have their little court right there on the ship, and he is convicted. He's not only charged, he is convicted. And all of his power is taken away, and he no longer has any authority over you. He can't tell you what to do anymore. In fact, there on the ship, he's put in the little brig or the jail cell, and when he gets back to land, when the ship gets back to land, he's going to be executed. He's going to be done away with. And imagine that in his place, a new captain is put in charge. And this captain is the total opposite of the former captain. This captain is good. This captain is full of integrity and uprightness. And this captain, when he gives you orders and when he gives you things to do, it is good things and it is helpful things and it gets the ship working together. And he has authority to tell you to do these good things and you follow them. But here's what happens on the ship. That old captain, even though he no longer has authority and he's in the brig there, but you know what? He doesn't shut up. He's still there barking orders. You're walking by and he's still trying to tell you what to do. And he even talks like he's still in charge as you walk by his jail cell. And he's still barking orders for you to do. He's rubbing his, taking his cup along the bar and trying to get your attention and wreak havoc. But he no longer has authority in your life. He can't tell you what to do anymore. That's the battle. That's a picture of the battle that we all go through. We have this old nature, this evil captain that keeps telling us what to do, and he thinks he has the right to tell us what to do. But now we have in Christ, we have a new nature. We have the Holy Spirit who is there to guide us and direct us in the good things of God. Down in the practical everyday life that we live, he wants to direct us and empower us. But we have a choice to make. Are we going to listen to that captain that has no legitimate authority anymore? Or are we going to listen to that new captain, that Holy Spirit in our lives? That's the battle that's going on. How does this work? These two natures that are battling, this tug of war that's going on, they're like muscles. You know how muscles work? I've talked about this a little bit in the past before. A muscle, if you exercise a muscle and if you feed a muscle, it gets weaker or stronger? It gets stronger if you exercise it and feed it the way it's supposed to be fed. And if you starve a muscle and you neglect a muscle, what will happen to it? It will weaken, it will atrophy and die. I had about 10 years ago, I severed my Achilles tendon. I was playing basketball and I took a step and fell right to the floor, and I realized it had snapped. And so I had it surgically repaired, and I wore a cast for 6 weeks and then a walking boot for 6 weeks. And then I went into the doctor to begin the recovery process, and they took that thing off, and I was horror-stricken. I looked at my calf. I'm a fairly athletic guy, and, you know, I've exercised, and I do all that, and I looked down at my calf muscle, and it was gone. It was completely gone because I hadn't been able to exercise it for 12 weeks, and it had atrophied and died. Because that had been, in a sense, neglected. And what I'm saying is, we need to neglect the sinful nature. We need to not feed it. We need to not obey it. We need to set it in the corner. And every time it tries to say something, we need to ignore it. We need to say no. Hear that? We need to say no when the spirit tries, or when the flesh tries to tell us to do something. And we know it's wrong and we know it's not right. And on the other hand, we need to exercise and strengthen that spiritual side. We do that through spending time with God and His Word. We do that through spending time with brothers and sisters in Christ and praying for one another. We do that through when we face that decision about, am I going to do the God-honoring thing, or am I going to do the thing that doesn't honor God, by making the choice and saying, God, with Your help, I'm going to do the thing here that honors You. And when we do that, something strengthens in us when we say yes to God. And that is the nature of the battle. Well, Paul continues with his walking in the Spirit metaphor a few verses later, and he points out that if we will walk in the Spirit, surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit, that something supernatural will begin to happen. He will produce some incredible results in fruit in our lives that will affect the way that we perceive and live life. It'll affect the way that we relate to other people. Look at this with me, Galatians 5:22. And you know this passage, it's a very famous passage. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, God says, there is no law. It's not about legalism. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, He says, let us, and here, I love this phrase. I've been meditating on this phrase. I've been just praying through this phrase over and over again in these last few weeks. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. That phrase is just like takes your life and slows it down into slow motion. As you walk through your day, as you face each thing, each step you take during the day, I'm going to live that by the Spirit, in the power of the Spirit, given over to the Spirit. Tony Evans puts it this way. It is a step-by-step approach to life, taking each thing as it comes on the path the Spirit leads us on, consciously bringing the Spirit of God to bear by prayerful obedience to God's Word in every situation, every circumstance, every relationship, and every decision. So let me get real practical with you. We got to figure out how to take this spiritual language of walking in the Spirit, and how does this look in a typical day? Well, I wake up in the morning and I'm laying in bed and I'm kind of becoming aware that I'm awake and I'm starting a new day. And you know what? A lot of days I wake up and my mind is, it doesn't take it very long to get into full motion, does it? I'm starting to think about my to-do list, or I'm starting to, maybe I had a tension in a relationship yesterday. Maybe my wife and I had, you know, cross words with one another, and I wake up and that's the first thing that is in my mind. Or maybe I'm facing an important decision and I'm still torn about what the right thing to do is, and so maybe that's on my mind. And so I begin my day in the Spirit before I eat my feet even hit the floor by just saying, God, man, my day is waiting for me, and I've got to go into it. But God, I just, before this day starts, I give this day to you. Friend, every morning before your feet hit the floor, you should say, God, today is your day. And God, today I want to honor you in the way that I live today. And then you get out of your bed and you begin your day. And hopefully, somewhere in your morning, if you are able, and maybe for you it's in your evening, if that works better for you, but you carve out a little bit of time to just spend with God. That's a real important part of walking in the Spirit, is giving God a little bit of time. Some people call that devotions or whatever, but you spend a little bit of time, maybe just 10 minutes, maybe 15. And you spend a little time just reading a portion of God's Word, like these beautiful passages in Ephesians and Galatians that we've been talking about. And then you just spend a little time expanding on that initial prayer that you started in bed that morning. God, help me to live out these truths that I'm reading in your Word, God, today. Maybe there's something you read in your time in the Word that really, God, just makes it real obvious that that's His word for you for that day. You say, God, yes, I'm gonna apply that to my life today. And oftentimes what I do during that prayer is I think about my day and say, God, I got a meeting this morning. I'm going to be meeting with somebody. So God, before I even go into that meeting, I just pray about it. I pray, God, that I could have wisdom to know, you know, if I'm making a decision in that meeting, or God, if I'm meeting with somebody that needs my help, God, help me to be sensitive to what is really going on in their life and help me to have wise words to share, or if I need to help bring together a plan to help that person, give me wisdom. I want to be your representative in that conversation. And then you walk through your day and you take another step and you go to that meeting and you do, and you be present to God in that meeting. And that doesn't mean just if you're a pastor, whatever you do for a living. God, I want to honor you in my work today. And maybe you take another step and you realize, and you think about your marriage a little bit. You say, man, my wife and I, we've been having tension over some things, over a certain area that just keeps coming up, and we're not on the same page. And God, sometimes I find myself being impatient and or selfish. I'm just talking about myself. I know this doesn't apply to anybody here. I'm just talking about me here. But I find my, and so I pray about it. God, I need to be less selfish, and I need to love my wife better in the middle of that situation. We need to be able to talk through this situation and come to some conclusions and honor you with the way that we handle this. And then you take another step and you look over and there's your daughter and there and you're a parent and you're looking down and you're saying, man, and she's going through this time in her life right now and she's struggling and she's just the world is tempting her to follow it, and I'm trying to help her to make good decisions. And God, I just pray for her, and I pray for wisdom that as I speak into her life, God, that you would give me the right words to say, and you would give me courage, because God, sometimes I feel like shrinking back and not really engaging the way that I ought to, God. Again, I'm just talking about me. This probably doesn't apply to any of you. But then, you know, you go through the next step in life and you take the next step and you realize, you think about, you know, there are some areas that are tempting me, some sin, that world's over there and it's calling me, it's direction. And there are certain temptations I'm facing, you know. Maybe it's that my evening's kind of free and I'd rather just sit and veg in front of the television and waste a bunch of time. But God, I think there's some other things you have me to do. So God, I want to honor you with how I spend my time. And on and on and on through the day, with each situation and each step, you just take time to give it to God and say, God, I want to be your person in life. I want to live for you. That's what it looks like to just walk in the Spirit. It's not complicated. It's really just about surrendered obedience. This consecration song that we sang, it's about doing that each day with God. You remember that old bracelet that was popular a few years ago? WWJD. What did that stand for again? What would Jesus do? I think that's what we're talking about. It's living life in each situation and saying, what, God, what would Jesus do in this situation? Well, I want to do that. How would Jesus handle this relationship, this dilemma, this decision? God, I want to do that. And you know what? That's what the Holy Spirit is there for, to show us and to empower us to do the life of Christ in us. And friends, we're gonna stumble in this, all of us. And I just want to encourage you, you're not going to walk this out with perfection, because the flesh is going to win sometimes, isn't it? But what I want to encourage you to do is to keep walking. And when you realize you've messed up and you've let the flesh win, then deal with it. Tell God, man, I messed up. If you hurt somebody's feelings in the process, then apologize. Ask for forgiveness. And get right back up and keep walking. You know, there is a mindset a lot of Christians have in our day. There's even a label that's been put on it. It's called cultural Christianity. It's the idea that I call myself a Christian, but what that means is I go to church most Sundays, and if somebody asks me if I'm a Christian, I say yes, but it doesn't really impact my daily living. I guess maybe one way I want to put it as I close is I want to invite you to move from being a part-time Christian to being a full-time Christian. Okay, that's really what we're talking about. I want to invite you from being a Sunday-only Christian to being a 7-day, 24/7 Christian. I want to invite you from the Christian part of your life just being one little slice of the pie to being the whole pie. I want to invite you to drink deeply from the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit, and to walk with God in every area of your life. Let's pray together. God, you've called us to full-time service. You've called us to live by faith and obedience in every area of life. God, you've called us to be on fire for you. You've called us to represent Christ in everything that we do. And then, God, you have given us your Holy Spirit. Not only to direct our lives, but to empower our lives as we surrender to you and as we step out in faith and obedience. And maybe today, as I kind of gave a few illustrations of what that looks like as we walk through a day, maybe each of us became aware of an area right now that's really not surrendered to the Holy Spirit, where we're really not following you very well. And so, God, I just pray that even with that, we would give that over to you, that area of life. And we would begin the process of praying about that and of saying, God, what would it look like for me to be more Christ-like in the way that I conduct myself in that area of life? And God, help us each to get used to that rhythm of just walking with you step by step through each day. Even if the things that we're doing don't feel like they're very spiritual, I'm at work, I'm doing my job. Well, God, we can honor you. I'm going to school, whatever it is we're doing, we can honor you. So we commit our hearts and our lives to that purpose today. And as we do that, Father, I pray that you would help us. You would grow us up. You would unify us. That we would see this stuff making a difference in our relationships and in our daily living. In everything that we do, we want to honor you and glorify you. For some of us this morning, just the idea of moving from part-time to full-time, man, that feels like a challenge to us. And we know that's the right next step. So God, help us as we move forward in Christ, in whose name we pray today. Amen.